This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB, Albert Breer, joining us also on Amazon Prime on Thursday Night Football. Got a lot going on, Breer.
Yeah, I do. That's the way it's been forever. It's just I'm getting multiple paychecks for it now. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Well, it's good to have you on, and especially with draft knocking on our door and a lot of questions during this free agency period about the Falcons and what they're going to do with Kirk Cousins. You think he's still going to be on this roster after June?
After June, I would say
the reason why, and I actually think
you cut off for a second. What did you say?
Sorry, I just got my car, so that's the Bluetooth kicking in. I would say no, Tiff. Like, and the reason why is because I do think there's going to be a team that's going to get desperate here, and I don't know exactly who it is, but I think, all of us were waiting on what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, and then there's going to be some dominoes after that. Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco. And, all you got to do is just sort of count up these situations and look at it and say, there's probably going to be somebody who's going to be left with something they don't like and is going to be looking for an alternative. And, I think in the end, there's a good chance that Terry Fontenot and his group wind up looking pretty smart for waiting this thing out because, are they going to be able to move all $27.5 million for this year off their books? Maybe not. But, I think there will be an opportunity out there somewhere for them to get a draft pick back for Kirk Cousins, which I think everybody would have seen as a pretty massive upset. Three months ago. And, I think a lot of it's going to just come down to where he winds up and to where Aaron Rodgers winds up. So if he winds up in Pittsburgh, then the Giants, I think, could be interested. If he winds up with the Giants, then Pittsburgh could be interested. I think Cleveland is going to wind up in the mix regardless at some level because of the connection to Kevin Stefanski that Kirk has. But my guess would be that someone's going to get desperate enough to flip the Falcons a draft pick. And I think in that case, it works out for everybody because in that case, the Falcons get out from underneath at least part of the contract for this year. And I think that creates the cleanest situation for Michael Penix going into his second year.
Albert, I want to follow up on that, too, because one of the conversations we've continued to have throughout the last couple of months is what does the locker room situation look like if Kirk Cousins is on the roster? I almost think Kirk might even be in this situation. I hate to even use this word, but he's a victim of his own personality almost, where if you knew he was going to make a stink in the locker room, maybe the Falcons already moved on from him, but he's not. You know he's going to show up ready for business, and he's going to show up ready to play.
Right, and I think that part of it, I would think people around him might be prodding him to rattle cages a little bit, and it hasn't happened,
Yep.
I feel like this is the type of situation where I don't know. I think in the 2 weeks leading up to free agency, with another player, there might have been a lot of noise, right? I mean, like, if this was someone else who was in this situation where they wanted to play and they knew they weren't going to get the opportunity to do it with their team, and their team held their rights, and there was the complications with the guaranteed money, you would see maybe somebody going and going public with their feelings on it, or demanding a trade, whatever it is, like doing something. And you're probably right. Like, this is, like, to some degree, been a relatively comfortable thing for the Falcons to have to deal with, even if they have had, behind the scenes, had to manage it to some degree. It's not nearly as bad as maybe it would be if we were talking about another player, which I think has allowed them to manage it in a way where they can be patient and see how this whole thing plays out. And, like the $10 million risk they took, last weekend, I think that could wind up paying off in a trade.
Albert Breer joining us here on the morning shift. Albert, was the Deebo Samuel trade from San Francisco about just money, or was some of it about kind of the way he acted during the season with some of the antics on the sidelines and the fact that the team needed to cut money and the fact that they kind of replaced him already?
I think it's just money. I think if he was making less, like, that would be fine. I just think it's the reality of it is Deebo came into the league beat up. He's been injured a bunch. He had trouble keeping weight. Like, there's a lot of things there where, if he wasn't, one of the seven or eight highest paid players on your team, you'd probably be more tolerant of it, or you could manage it a little bit. But when a guy's got, like, that big number and you have to do something because they have this bottleneck of big contracts, like, I really think, like, and they'll never say this, but I do think to some degree they viewed him as, like, all right, that's an easy one. That's the first one to go, and again, like, Deebo's been a great player for them, and he can't control his injury situation. Like, that's just sort of what it is and what it has been for him going back to college. I think he's 29 right now, right? He's a very old 29-year-old. And so, again, if the number's lower, I think maybe they move forward with him if they had fewer big contracts on their books, maybe they do another year with them. Just the situation being what it was, where they needed to find space somewhere, and if they were going to go through with a reset, purge some guys from the roster, I think it was a relatively easy call to make that Deebo was going to be one of them.
Albert, I saw you tweeting about Stephon Diggs and how he had a good visit with the Patriots. Do you feel like he could be a good fit with that team?
I think so. Like, I think, he sort of had a similar experience last year playing with a quarterback going into year two. Last year was C.J. Stroud. If he did it this year, it would be with Drake May. I do think Steph's a better guy than a lot of people realize. I think he's like a lot of receivers where when he was in the prime of his career, hyper-competitive, wants to win, and believes the best way to win is to get him the ball. And when he's not getting the ball, he'd be a little bit of a pain. And that was sort of what the Vikings dealt with at the end with him and Cousins, and the Bills dealt with at the end. And, so I think he's gotten to the point now where he's past that. He was not the number one last year when he was healthy in Houston. And he wasn't a problem. Everybody there says great things about him. So I think, he'd be a good fit for what the Patriots are looking for, despite the fact that he's coming off the ACL. But I think he'd be a fit in a lot of different places. I think a lot of it's going to come down to, what his financial expectations are and how he's expected to be paid. I think that's a big piece of why you see so many of the older receivers sitting out there in the market. It's a lot of guys that are worth, that are used to making a lot of money that are maybe coming to grips now with the fact that the league might not value them the same way they did 3 years ago.
Albert Breer hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Albert, one of the things we're kind of keeping tabs on in terms of NFL free agency, or I guess not free agency, but Trey Hendrickson, I think a lot of us kind of thought maybe when both wide receivers were signed back to such lucrative contracts that there was no way that he would be going back, and as Falcons fans, obviously we're forever in need of pass rush. Do you have any information on what the latest might be with a guy like Trey Hendrickson and the likelihood that he stays in Cincinnati?
I would
that thing is very fluid. They were, I think, sort of had it in their heads that they were going to try to trade him. Now, that's been a little bit more difficult than they thought, because the way they value him is, as a guy who's had 35 sacks over the last 2 years, like, you're really going to have a hard time giving up, you know, you're going to have a hard time giving that guy away for a pick that's outside, say, the top 50 picks, right? On the flip side, if you're another team, you're looking at it and you're saying, he's 31 years old, he's going to need a new contract. And so is this worth going in on where you're giving up multiple assets? You're giving up that contract plus a pick in the first two rounds. And for the teams that have shown interest, that's a bridge too far. So I think it's, you're sort of stuck there a little bit. And being stuck there bought them time to do the deals with the receivers. And now they're diving back in to see if they can find some sort of middle ground. I do think, like, to some degree, the Danielle Hunter deal in Houston to give them a little bit of clarity, and then, like, okay, like, he got a deal at, I think it's 35.6 for the single year extension. You know, maybe that gives them a little bit of clarity in what it should cost for them to get something done. I think they'll try. I don't know if they'll be able to get something done. We'll see.
Hey, Albert, real quick, the Bears seem to be – they made a lot of moves. I feel like they overspent for our former guy, Grady Jarrett.
And maybe Drew Dahlman.
And Drew Dahlman. Are they kind of a victim of having too much money, where they're just kind of overpaying for free agents, or do you actually like their moves?
Yeah, but you know what? Like, the thing is, like, if you're spending in free agency, you're almost by definition overpaying. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – I mean – I could come up with a half dozen guys where it's like, that guy's not worth that much, but that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, if you pay a guy early, then generally you're going to get a decent deal on it. If a guy gets the market, he's going to get overpaid, generally speaking. So I think that's sort of the cost of doing business in that market. And a lot of these deals they can get out of after a year or two. And it's wild. They still have some of the guys on the roster on rookie contracts. And it's with a salary cap that's probably going to go over $300 million next year. So I don't mind it, because I think, like, every move that they've made has been sort of reflective of what the head coach wants. And if you look at, like, where Ben Johnson's coming from in Detroit, the way they invested in the line of scrimmage first there before they did anything else, you know, and drafting guys like Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson and Ali McNeil on top of the guys they already had in-house, like, you see that's what's happening now. They completely revamped the interior of their offensive line with Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, and Drew Dahlman, and then adding Jarrett to, like, what you had earlier in free agency with Odin Yingbo from Indianapolis and Javon Hargrave from San Francisco. Yeah, they're really in a spot right now where it looks like the lines of scrimmage are going to be in a totally different spot than they were 2 months ago for the team.
Albert, you got everything covered. You're the best. We really appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
No problem. You know you can call me anytime, Jeff.
I appreciate you.
Big time Blackman, we call her.
Oh,
big time Blackman.
Stop it. Oh, you're still on. Thanks again, Albert.
All good.